Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC presents Life with the Lions.
According to the philosophy of Schopenhauer, life to the young is a succession of minor tragedies. Now, some fathers stand by and watch their children get tied up in knots, but not Ben. He helps them to do it. For example, last Monday, Richard developed an alarming inferiority complex.
Mr. Lang, we've simply got to do something about Master Richard.
I know, Aggie. Is he still as depressed as he was?
I'm afraid he's worse. He's up there in his bedroom all alone, and he looks so sad.
Oh, poor darling. What's he doing?
Just sitting there with his ears drooping. Say, Daddy, what's happened to him?
Well, honey, it's an accumulation of things. He hasn't been able to get a steady job. He was put out of the Marble Arch Male Choir. And lately, the boys have been calling him a shrimp.
Oh, and he hates people saying he's small.
Those horrible boys. They have no right to call my brother a shrimp. The poor little shrimp.
Well, we'll just have to help him regain his self-confidence. Aggie, would you please tell Richard I want to see him?
I will, and make him feel that he's tall, the poor wee lamb.
Well, I guess most of it's my fault. I'm always telling them how stupid he is.
What about your father? He's always saying, Richard, do this, Richard, do that, Richard, don't do that. He may as well be a mechanical man, a Robert.
Honey, the word is robot.
You see? You're calling me one now.
I'm sorry, Roberta.
Oh, Pop.
Oh, I'm in the living room, son. Now, don't forget, girls, bolster up his ego.
Okay, Daddy.
All right.
Aggie said you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes, darling. Sit down on the sofa and let me put a bolster behind your ego.
Huh? Phoebe. Richard, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We know you've been feeling pretty depressed lately, and there's really no reason for it.
Oh, don't worry. I see things a lot clearer now.
You do?
Yes, I've given it a great deal of thought, and I realize why I have an inferiority complex.
Why?
I'm inferior.
Listen to him, girls. A boy of his age talking like a has-been.
I'm worse. I'm a never-was.
Oh, darling, now stop saying those things.
Oh, I can't help it, Ma. You know what they call me? The little shrimp.
Son, that's not important. I've known big men who were very small and small men who were very big. It's the size of a man's heart that counts.
You mean I've got a tall heart?
You certainly have. Furthermore, courage is something you've never lacked.
I haven't?
No, indeed.
Now, Richard, snap out of
it. I tried you, but it's no good. Everybody thinks I'm a dumb, uninteresting, ugly shrimp.
Oh, well, they're wrong. You're just as smart as I am.
And you have my personality.
And you have my looks.
Do you really mean that?
Of course. Well, son, how do you feel now?
I think I'll kill myself.
Richard.
Well, yes, because I know you're all just saying those things to make me feel better.
Richard, you're wrong.
Oh, yes. All you need is a little faith in yourself.
Think so?
Yes, as your father said, darling. You can have the heart of a mouse or the heart of a tiger.
Okay, I'll try.
Ah, that's my boy. Say, how about all of us going to the Palm Room for dinner tonight?
Well, Russell's working, but I'd love to go.
Oh, wait a minute, Ben. Do you think you can get a table?
Well, it's pretty short notice, but a man with plenty of drive and authority could do it. Go ahead, Richard. You book it.
Gosh, Pop, do you really think I could do it?
Of course. Go on, Tiger. Call them up.
Okay. Say, Ma, are my stripes on straight?
They look just fine, honey.
Well, come on, girls. Richard's checking our coats.
Where's the table, Daddy?
Well, the head waiter said it's number 32.
Well, what a coincidence.
Oh, Mother. The Palm Room certainly is empty tonight.
Well, it never is crowded, you know, on Monday nights. That's why I knew Richard could get a good table easily.
Here's 32.
Oh, no. It's the worst table in the restaurant.
Yes, but Richard booked it, so we'll have to make the best of it. Now, come on, let's sit down.
All right.
We'll let Richard sit at the head of the table.
Yes, and you sit over here, Ben.
Oh, thanks. You put me right next to the orchestra.
What, are you complaining?
Oh, no, the saxophone player can cool my soup for me.
Look out. Look out. Here comes Richard.
Well, how do you like the table?
Oh, just fine, son. Yes. Come, you sit at the head.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
Darling, you look very manly in your dinner jacket.
Why, I'm glad you think so. Fella just said I look like a penguin.
Well, here are the menus. Want me to order for everybody?
No. Let Richard order.
I see where I stand. Feel taller now, son?
You bet. What do you want to start with, Ma?
A little shrimp, dear.
Huh?
The shrimp cocktail, dear, it's on the special dinner.
Why don't we just have a drink now and order our dinner after the cabaret?
Oh, okay, Papa. I'll call the waiter. Oh, Cauchon?
Richard, Cauchon is a pig.
He is? Well, then I'll call one of the other Cauchons.
Honestly, when will you learn the word is G-A-R-C-O-N?
Oh, okay. Gherkin? Gherkin?
Fine. Now we're going to have a pickle waiter.
A waiter?
Oh!
Hey, pull in your chair, Sonny. You just backed into me.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I guess the tables are a little too close together.
Well, watch it.
Richard, you didn't back into his chair. He backed into yours.
Well, never mind.
What do you mean, never mind? This calls for an apology. Now, go ahead.
Okay. Sir?
Yes?
I apologize.
Not you, him.
Oh, sir, you backed into my chair.
Look, youngster, are you trying to start something?
Well, no, I just wanted to tell you, that's all.
Oh, well, all right, Sonny, let's forget about it.
How was that, Pop?
Terrific. You've got him scared stiff.
Look, the cabaret's starting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Palm Room.
You know, that orchestra leader's face looks very familiar.
Well, Ma, that's Norman Newell. He makes all Barbara's records.
Oh. Before our cabaret begins, I'm coming down there with my roving mic to see what celebrities we have with us tonight. Yes, yes, just look who's tucked away in this corner. Our old friends, B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyons. And, of course, beside them, another member of that very talented family, Barbara Lyons. And, of course, over at the next table.
Oh, just a minute, Norman, just a moment. You left out the most important member of the family, our son, Richard.
Oh, Richard. Well, I'm sorry, he's so small, I didn't see him.
Stand up and take a bow, my boy.
I am standing.
Well, we're very glad to have you with us, young man. And now, folks, our first number will be a new version of that old favorite, The Shrimp Boats Are A-Coming.
Ma, do you mind if I go home?
Oh, me too. I've got to get up early in the morning to make a record.
Well, I think we could all do with an early night. After all, we're not as young as we used to be. Are you, Ben?
Just hope.
Darling, you sang it beautifully.
Oh, thanks, Mother. Say, where's Richard?
Oh, he's over there talking to the pianist.
He doesn't know it yet, but I've arranged for him to make a recording.
What are you trying to do to him? You know he can't sing.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
They're only going to release a few copies of the record. I thought it might help him regain his confidence if he made a recording.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
So I explained everything to Norman Neal, and he's going to convince Richard he's got a wonderful voice.
Well, I think he has. The trouble is, he never chooses a key that suits him.
Mother, the only key that would suit Richard's voice is the key to a soundproof room.
Who has?
Oh, darling, no one. That's the title of a new song that Barbara's going to record. Unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I wish I was a recording star.
Well, maybe someday you will be, son.
No, Pop. Remember I had to leave the Marble Arch Male Choir?
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't sing, Richard.
Is this a family affair, or can anyone break in?
Oh, hello, Norman.
Hello,
Mr.
We've been talking about singers.
And I've just been listening to one, Lonnie Donegan.
He's terrific.
Don't you think that sounds a little conceited, Richard?
How do you mean?
Well, I mean your singing voices are so much alike.
Well, sure I have. Huh?
Yes, yes, indeed. That was the first thing that hit me when I heard you sing at the Marble Arch Town Hall.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. I remember how your voice soared above all the others. You know, you'd make a great recording star.
Now, isn't that odd? Richard was just saying how much he'd love to make records.
Yes.
You mean to say no other company has signed him up yet?
Well, no, I,
Well, then I'm not going to give them a chance. How about making a recording for us right now?
Oh, it's wonderful.
I can't believe it.
Well, what are you going to have him sing, Norman?
Well, I've made an arrangement of Chinatown for Dickie Valentine, but, well, if you want it, Richard, it's yours.
Oh, you bet I want it. Oh, family, do you really think I can do it?
Oh, Richard, you'll drive the cats crazy.
Yes, and you'll drive the people crazy, too.
I sure hope so.
All ready for you, Richard.
Well, good luck, son.
Good luck, darling.
Okay, Mr. Newell.
All right, boys. From the top.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low, hearts that know no other land, drifting to and fro, ching 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 ching, dreamy, dreamy Chinatown, almond eyes of brown, hearts are light and life seems bright, dreamy Chinatown.
Some talented brother home?
Relax, Barbara. He's out.
Good. I just heard that record he made last week.
How was it, dear?
Well, I'm feeling better now. Incidentally, if you want to hear one, they're on sale at the record shop on the corner. All 25 of them.
Now, the number of records doesn't matter, Barbara. This is going to do him the world of good.
Ah, you should have seen how pleased the wee lamb was when I showed him this little article about him in the Scottish press. Oh, Aggie, how sweet of you to write the paper. What does it say?
It says, a newcomer to the recording world is that talented young artist, Richard Lyon. If what we hear about his new record is true, we hope if ever he comes north of the border, he'll spend all his time in Glasgow.
What paper is that?
The Edinburgh Times.
Oh, Aggie. You and your jokes. It's the Glasgow Gazette, and it's written by your sister.
Aye, and my brother said something nice about him in the Glasgow Birdwatcher. I'll go and get it for you.
Oh, say, Barbara, I know something would make Richard think he's famous.
Well, what, Mother?
Name Sophie's next litter of kittens after him.
Not more kittens. Honestly, Barbara, you should have a heart-to-heart talk with that cat.
She certainly is the most flirtatious cat in the neighborhood.
Hello, everybody.
With one exception.
I brought you a copy of the Marble Arch Clarion. Wait until you read Richard's interview.
What?
Oh, yes. Florrie's cousin works for the Clarion, darling. Oh, thank you so much for arranging it, Florrie, dear.
Oh, you're welcome, darling. Look, here it is on the center page. Oh,
my goodness. Three whole columns and six photographs.
Yes. Did you ever see such a big spread?
Well.
Now, Ben.
I didn't say anything. Yet.
Oh, don't worry, BB. I'm used to his one crack mind.
Rory, I'm really very grateful to you. This will mean a lot to the boy.
Anybody home?
Oh, come in, son. We were just talking about you.
Well, naturally.
There's a big story about you in the Clarion.
I know. I bought a dozen copies.
You know, Ben, it gets more like you every day.
Where have you been, dear?
Oh, having a haircut. I would have saved you one of my curls, but they were all spoken for.
Oh, you know, he certainly is like his father.
Yes. Richard, aren't these nice pictures of you in the Clarion?
Well, yes, Ma, but they make me look awfully young. I'm going to get some new ones taken that will show up more of my masculine anonymity.
Well, you got the ninny part right.
What I mean is I want some photographs taken that will show the real me. Well, you know the sort of stuff. Maybe in an open-neck shirt singing with an orchestra. Or better still, me singing to my fans in a small combination.
Well, be sure and close the trap door.
Oh, be serious, Pop. I think I should have a nickname, too.
Well, what about Richard, King of Swing?
What about King Richard?
Yes, that's always been an impressive name.
You mean somebody's used it before?
Well, yes, but I don't think they'll mind.
Okay. Say, don't you think we ought to go to the Palm Room Saturday night and celebrate my success?
All right, King Richard. Does that mean His Majesty intends to pay the bill?
No, but I'll book the table for you. I'll go and telephone them now.
Well, the Palm Room's certainly crowded tonight.
Yes, you can hardly move.
Don't bend over, Ben. They might throw a tablecloth over you.
Oh. All right, honey.
Oh, here's our table, Daddy.
Well, girls, look at this. Richard's booked the best table in the restaurant this time.
Oh, speaking of Richard, where is the voice of the turtle?
He's probably waiting to make an entrance. Come on, let's sit down.
Good idea.
You know, Daddy, we never should have shown Richard those newspaper articles.
Why not?
Because he believes them. He thinks he's the eighth wonder of the world. He certainly has changed since the last time he was here. Remember how shy he was?
Yeah, poor kid. He was so confused he left a tip.
Daddy is getting terribly conceited.
Well, I haven't noticed it.
Oh, that's because you're at the office all day.
Well, well, here's my little family.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, son. I was about to send an SOS out for you.
Sorry I'm late.
Richard, sit down. Everybody's staring at you.
So I noticed. I wonder why.
I'd say it was a toss-up whether they were admiring your dinner jacket or your velvet jeans.
Oh, those. I wore them because I think the public expects celebrities to be a little unconventional.
Yes, dear, but why are you wearing them?
Well, he probably thought they'd go well with his sunglasses.
Richard, take those off. You don't wear sunglasses in a restaurant.
Well, I know that, but I don't want to be recognized, do I, Pop?
Not if you're smart, you don't.
Richard, now take them off and sit down.
Okay, Ma.
I'll call a waiter.
Oh, I'll handle this, Pop. Waiter?
Yes, sir?
Good heavens, man, what kept you? Why weren't you here before I called?
I'm sorry, young man.
And don't call me young man.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's better. I'm entitled to the same respect you show my father. You wouldn't dream of calling him a young man.
Nor would anyone else, sir. May I have your orders, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, what? Waiter, look, if you don't mind, we'll order after the cabaret.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Palm Room. As usual... Thank you, thank you, thank you. As usual, before the cabaret, I'm coming down there to introduce some of the great stars we have with us tonight. Let's see now.
Oh, here I am, here I am.
Oh, yes, indeed, indeed, it's that new recording star. Ladies and gentlemen, you've all heard of Mel Torme, the singer they call the Velvet Fog. Well, now meet Richard Lyon, the fellow with the mellow bellow.
Thank you. Thank you, you wonderful, wonderful people, for that wonderful, wonderful welcome. And now we would like to tell you about a real cute little number we have just recorded called Chinatown. And I'd like to dedicate it to my mom. not forgetting sis and dear old dad. My latest DCP recording number, 1026.
That's his head size.
Can be purchased for 6 3/4 halfpenny. And all of you who want to join my fan club, the membership fee is 2 6. Thank you.
Yes, and now I see, ladies and gentlemen, over here.
Richard, how could you?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I only. Ouch!
Oh, sorry.
You stepped on my foot.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but your foot was right in my path.
Who do you think you're talking to, you clumsy clot?
Now, just a minute.
Don't talk when I'm interrupting.
Richard, don't start anything.
I'm not afraid of you, even if you are over 6 feet tall.
Are you looking for trouble,
young
man?
And don't threaten me, Buster, or you'll get a punch right on the nose.
From a little shrimp like you.
That does it. Put up your dukes.
All right, they're up.
Go ahead, Pop, punch him on the nose.
What? Oh!
Barbara, pour some water over your father.
Thank you.
Richard home?
No, dear. Oh, Ben, you look tired.
Well, no wonder. I've been in 12 fights this week.
No.
Yes, I'm at the top of the hit parade.
Oh, you poor darling.
And that's not all. Now Richard's going around the neighborhood telling all the kids his father can beat their fathers.
Oh, fine.
Honey, whatever am I going to do?
Run.
Be having your dinner out tonight.
No, Aggie, I'm staying right here. I'm going to watch the fights on TV. I want to see someone else get punched on the nose for a change.
Well, I don't like to say this, but I'm afraid you've brought it all on yourself and no one's sympathizing with you.
Now, Aggie, my husband's had enough punishment.
Oh, hi. Maybe he'd like me to make him a nice fresh pot of tea.
No, thanks. You've already made him 3 pots this evening.
Yes, what I'd like is a little less tea and a little more sympathy.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, I sympathize with you. But after all, you've turned a mouse into a monster.
Yes, we wanted to create a Frankie Vaughn, and we've created a Frankie Stein.
Aye. Well, Halloween, start the dinner.
Any sign of the singing fool?
No, he hasn't come home yet.
Oh, Daddy, this has ceased to be a joke. He keeps going over to the recording studio and bothering them all the time.
Chicago, Chicago, what a town.
Oh, well, here comes the voice of the Velvet Frog.
Chicago, Chicago, it's a wonderful town. Hi, family. What do you think of my Chicago?
Sounds like there's just been another fire.
Oh, come now, Pop, you've got to get with it. More like skiffle, don't you, Ma?
Richard, you think I'm crazy?
You don't have to be crazy to like skiffle.
No, but it helps. Now, sit down. Your father has something to say to you.
Okay. What can I do for you, Pop?
Now, listen, young man. You're getting entirely too big for your boots. And it's got to stop. Do you understand?
Look, Pop, you seem to forget I'm a big star now. There's certain things the public expect of a man when he's a big success.
They certainly do. They expect him to be simple and natural. They expect him to be warm-hearted and to think big.
You mean I'm a little thinker?
That's close enough.
I don't agree with you.
Richard, you and I are going to have a nice long talk after dinner. That is, if you'll condescend to join us, King Lion.
Oh, sure, sure. I think I can make it. I'm free between 8 and 9.
Well, if you don't find something better to do, let us know. Come on, Ben, let's change.
Yes. All right, honey.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Now, listen, Babs.
Don't you Babs me, you little stuck-up nitwit. Furthermore, what do you mean by bothering Mr. New?
Well, I've got something really important to see him about tomorrow.
Don't you dare.
Well, I'm sorry, Barbara, but I want to look over their books.
You what?
Well, they claim they've only sold 12 of my records. Their bookkeeper has obviously made a big mistake.
You're so right. They only sold 7, and the family bought those.
What?
You may as well have it straight, Richard. Mr. Newell only made that record as a favor.
But my press cuttings, what about those?
Friends of the family. They did it to make you feel good.
Oh. Oh, no.
Richard, where are you going?
Out. Just out.
But Mother and Daddy are expecting you for dinner. What shall I tell them?
Just say, King Richard has abdicated. It was very nice of you to give me this lift, Mr.
The name's Alf, young fella. You see, I always figured it this way. Me and the lorry's got to get to Southampton anyway, so we might as well have company.
Well, good. Are you going right to the docks in Southampton?
Yes, but this load's bound for South America. Where are you bound for?
Oh, Australia, I think.
Feel like telling me what it's about? Is it a girl?
No, it's not a girl.
Then it must be your family.
Well, how did you know?
Well, I did the same thing when I was your age. I was going to Australia. But after a while, I got homesick and come back.
Yeah, I can understand that. Australia's a long way away.
Oh, I only got as far as East Acton. Then I come to my senses.
Well, I'm not turning back. But no matter where I travel, there'll always be part of me in London.
There will?
Yes, that's where I had my appendix taken out.
Now, look, son, you can't fool me. I know you're only joking to keep your spirits up. Why don't you forget about Australia and go back home?
No. I couldn't.
But there's no future in roaming round the world. Gets awfully lonesome, especially around Christmas and your birthday and things like that.
I guess you're right. But I'm too ashamed to go back right now.
But would you please tell me why you're running away from home?
My family made a fool of me.
Why?
Well, I guess they did it to make me feel important, but, well, everything went wrong, and the family got an idea that I was big-headed.
Were you?
Yes.
Then you made a fool of yourself.
Guess you're right.
What's your name, son?
Richard. Richard Lyon.
No. Blimey. I remember your old man in Hell's Angels. You know, you're a lot like him.
Well, gee, thanks. You know, he said the same thing. Do you really think I'm a chip off the old block?
Yes. Or perhaps I should say, a slice off the old ham.
Well, it's still a compliment. Hey, wait a minute. Say, that sign we just passed wasn't pointing to Southampton.
No, it's pointing to London. Sorry, Richard. I'm taking you home.
Gosh. Thanks, Alf.
Bob, are you sure that Richard didn't say where he was going?
Positive, Mother.
But where can he be? He's been gone for hours.
Hello, family.
Oh, Richard.
No, Richard.
Are you all right, son?
Yes, I'm fine, Pop.
Oh, sweetheart, I've been so worried. I'm so happy you're back. I could spank you.
Isn't that just like Mom?
Oh, Richard, where have you been all this time?
Without. You see, I set off to go to sea, but on the way I decided I must be out of my mind. That's when I knew I should be back here with the family.
For anyone who's out of their mind, this is certainly the right place to be.
Master Richard, I'm going to get you a nice glass of milk and a sandwich.
Aggie, you're a dreamboat.
I know I am.
Pop, I'm sorry I acted like a halfwit. I just had too much ambition and nobility. That's why I kept talking like a big shot. I was only trying to impress myself.
Oh, you've got ability, all right, son. But we tried to make you climb too fast.
Oh, I'll get it.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Mr. New. What? What? No, I can't believe it. Yes, terrific. Simply terrific. Thanks a million for calling. Goodbye. Well, Richard, isn't that simply unbelievable?
Yeah, the most unbelievable thing I never heard.
Barbara, do you mind telling us what this is all about?
The BBC played Richard's record yesterday. Oh, just as a gag, you know. And Mr. New said orders have been pouring in from all over the country.
No!
Yes, they've already sold over 50,000 copies.
Wow!
Terrific!
Gosh, no kidding!
Oh, no kidding!
Well, I suppose you won't want this sandwich and milk now. You'll be wanting caviar and pink champagne.
Aggie, here, give me that milk. I don't want anything different than it is. But, of course, I'll have to have an important manager now. Mm.
Don't tell me he's starting that again.
How about it, Pop? Will you manage a little shrimp like me?
What do you mean, shrimp? You've got a very tall heart, King Richard.
How about calling him Richard the Lionheart?
Nope. There's only one King Lion in this house.
Well, thanks, son. I'll lend you my mane sometime.
Life of the Lyons, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Wilfred Babbage, and Graham Stark. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. The script was by Bob Block, Ronnie Hambry, and B.B. Daniels. Production by Tom Ronald.